As I was doing the family tree, I needed to do transcriptions of parish registers to take the research back further, because you can do your family tree using records from the General Record Office for like births, marriages and deaths, but they start in 1837 and they can be a bit patchy anyway early on. So I started doing parish registers and just became really, really fascinated by them as historical records of a local area as much as what it was telling me about my family.
And what did you find?
Some of them didn't leave many notes, but some of them left really thorough notes, and it's like they're leaving a record of the sort of the ordinary people and the posh people who lived in their village. I think probably some of the most fascinating things you find in the burial registers, where they actually tell you how people died. They fall down wells, they fall off horses, there's all sorts of unfortunate ways that they died in those days. I'm currently working on the registers for Langham, which is next door to Dedham, and that's been quite interesting. It's got some of John Constable the painter's family in it, which is interesting, because apparently he used to sit at the top of the church tower and draw views of Dedham Vale in Langham. I didn't know that was quite a fascinating thing. You can probably tell if you look at some of Constable's paintings, the only way you could get that view there would be from that church tower. I have an enormous list of what was going on in Langham. In 1639, we have a chap called Luke Bemis. He died and he was a stale bachelor, which is quite a funny term, but I think that basically means he was a sort of older single man. I tried to look this term up, and there was a court case in the mid-1800s where someone called someone a stale bachelor, and the barrister said, "What do you mean by that?" So it's quite interesting that term sort of 200 years later was kind of falling out of use. There were a couple of men who'd lived to be 100 years old in Langham in the 1600s, which was quite impressive. And in 1643, we have John Rand. He was a lusty young man, but I think lusty in those days meant something else. In 1694, Thomas Spark, age 20, was killed by misadventure by the mill wheel. 2 years later, Edward Houcham, who was 18, from Stratford, a blind lad, drowned at the floodgates at Stratford Mill. So it's quite a dangerous place being around a mill, I would say.
You've also researched into Matthew Hopkins?
I have, yes, because I was transcribing the records for Mistley, and that's where he lived at one point. Probably because of that film, The Witchfinder General, with Vincent Price in it. People sort of see him as this sort of mad fanatic who just was like, "I'm just going to kill witches because I'm a mad fanatic." And I think he probably was a fanatic, really, in any ways. But what was interesting about the registers for Mistley is that I worked out that his mother had married the vicar in Mistley after Hopkins' father died. And then when I looked through the different records to do with the witch trials, I realised that one of the earliest witch trials Hopkins was involved in involved the death of his stepsister's child, so his step-nephew. And I thought that was really interesting, because suddenly, instead of it being he's this fanatic who randomly turns up in Mistley for no reason, we realise he moved there as a child because his mother got married, and we realise that there was a personal element to it, that he thought his own step-nephew had been killed by a witch. And that, I think, gives it quite a powerful angle to that entire thing. I mean, obviously, after that, he went off with John Stern, and they were persecuting many, many people. And unfortunately, I found out my great several times uncle was a justice of the peace who actually helped him prosecute people, which wasn't a fun thing to find out. But, you know, you can find out all sorts of things when you start researching parish registers and going back quite far in your family tree.
I mean, people listening to this, they want to start looking at their family tree. What would you recommend them to do?
Talk to relatives of yours who remember things, because often people's memories, there will be nuggets of truth in what they remember. You need to back it up. Obviously, you have to send off the certificates and things. Then you get to the point where you need to look at censuses, and you can then find where people were living. And lots of surprises start coming out when you look at censuses. And then you start looking at the parish registers. But, I mean, parish registers, the Essex Record Office has ones online. It's worth having a look to see if your family are in those registers. You know, it's parish registers are something you don't have to just use before 1837. You can use them after that too.